Hello and welcome to The Nerve.
Hello.
Matt's here again. I'm here again. And today we're going to be talking to collars, the band, not the thing you wear around your neck. Bye. Collars are here. Hello, everybody.
Hey, hello. Welcome, Collars. Welcome, Dan. Thanks welcome, Kay. Good to have you here. Welcome to mine and Ethan's humble abode.
Thanks for inviting us in and for letting me take my shoes off.
That's okay.
You're welcome. Yeah. You asked very politely, so.
Unlike some.
Unlike
people.
Some previous guests who just strip themselves off. And you've brought Paul Simon, your dog.
Yes.
Who is called Paul Simon.
He's very happy to be here. He loves meeting new people.
He's a very happy dog.
Let's dive straight into the name Paul Simon, because it is fantastic. Let's talk about that.
Self-explanatory, I think.
What, the carpet? Look, the carpet place.
The carpet place.
Hammer out. That's it.
There used to be like a carpet shop called Paul Simon, or Simon Paul, or something like that, in Peterborough.
What?
Did there?
Yeah, it used to be like a carpet place. It was like Simon something, Paul something. Yeah.
No.
Shit anecdote.
Not
but it does look like carpet, see how fluffy it is.
Yeah, no, it's after the singer, I suppose.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul Simon.
He's got massive testicles, isn't he?
famously massive balls, yeah. And hence the name, yeah.
But there's no Art Garfunkel pet as well?
Absolutely not.
No.
No. I do know, like, I have come across an Art Garfunkel dog on Instagram, and unsurprisingly, it's like small, pathetic, and fluffy.
So. Did you, like,
have you reached out?
Did follow you back?
No, we follow it.
I was going to say, you must have reached out, and like, there's got to be a collaboration there.
Yeah.
But obviously, Paul Simon is the better dog.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Dan had this like obsession with naming the dog like just a human name, basically.
A full name.
Yeah. And then, we just banded ideas around, and that was, that seemed...
Yeah.
But it's weird now, it's like, A, it feels like just like one word, Paul Simon, and B, like, when people talk about the single, they're like,
yeah.
It's not
feels so...
Does he respond to Paul Simon?
Yeah.
So it's Paul, oi, Paul, get it.
It won't work.
Some people call him Simon, and some people call him Paul. I think he's just, he'll you call him enough, he'll come over.
Yeah.
You have food.
I do like a human. I've always wanted a dog called Keith. I just think Keith's a really good dog
name.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on, Keith, in the park. Come on, Keith.
Yeah.
Come on, Keith, little short fat man runs up to you. No, not you. My
cousin had a dog called Dave.
Yeah. Dave's a great name.
Dave is an excellent name for a dog.
What was the dog called in Spaced?
Colin.
Colin.
Yeah, Colin.
Perfect. I love a human name for a pet. I love it. Yeah. I think it just makes him more part of the family. Because if it's like Snuffles or Teddy Bear, do you know what I mean? It's a bit. I used to have a dog called Cookie, and calling that was a little bit emasculating.
So that is the name origins.
Yeah.
You got anything to say, Paul Simon? It's quite quiet, isn't it? He's got nothing to say.
He heard you.
He's like, what?
He stopped breathing for a second.
Hey.
Well, now we're starting, aren't we?
I thought of that joke like 4 hours ago. I knew I'd get a chance.
So, collars. Are collars?
Who are you? What do you do?
What is it? Where did you come from? Where did the idea
Where did you go?
Come?
What's inside the
Where
do
you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Open up the Pandora's box of collars.
Oh, where to start?
Because you're a two-piece.
Well, that's Kane. He's one half of Collars. I'm Dan, the other half. Kane, but although we're two halves, Kane is more like the majority of Collars.
Okay.
If you've seen us live.
You're like 75% of Collars.
Yeah, and I do the other 25%.
Dan writes the song, so you get paid the most. If we ever got paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I met Dan through a friend of mine that I was in a band with, a guy called Vince Tobin. We were in a punk band called Limited Means together.
It's a decent rock star's name, that is, Vince Tobin.
I've got a dog called Vince Tobin.
Brilliant.
he's a really smart scientist. Yeah. He's a physicist now, like, blows my mind, yeah.
Yeah, and we met just in London, just through like an ad on Gumtree or something like that, because we were both looking for a band. We both loved like Rancid and like those sorts of punk bands, and so yeah, we were playing together for a little while, and I met Dan through him. She came and took some photos of us and that, and then yeah, we just stayed in touch. And then I've basically just been desperately trying to forge a music career one way or another.
Yeah.
God knows how long. And I was producing for a rapper, and that just wasn't working out anymore. Guy wasn't really pulling his weight. And so I just found myself again, sort of sat around the house, just like messing around with the guitar, writing lyrics and things. And I just said to Dan one day, do you feel like kind of just giving it a shot, singing some of my tunes? And she hadn't sung at all at that point. But
oh, really?
No, she hadn't.
How long ago are we talking here? When was this? When did...
This was, it was like the Christmas holidays 2017.
Okay.
So like when we were sort of sitting around doing nothing.
So yeah, I was just sat, like I say, I was just sort of moping around the house strumming chords, you know, like,
yeah.
Woe is me. I just said to her, do you fancy giving it a, you know, trying to sing some of these
songs? Had you heard Dan sing at all?
No,
like,
she never even sang
risk.
In front of me.
Do you want to come sing? Have you ever sung with that?
She dresses
it's,
like this.
Yeah.
She loves music, and I thought, we might make a good front person.
Yeah, definitely.
How lucky that you do have such a great voice.
Yeah,
that's really worked out well.
Just imagine if you were just nails. Fuck!
It's a bit annoying, to be honest. She doesn't really, anyway, no, she's worked on it loads, but yeah, it did sort of come naturally to you. But yeah, at first she wouldn't even sing in front of me. Like,
I was just really terrified.
So how did you get into the scene? So you were a photographer at that point?
No, not really. Well, okay, so when I went to uni in London to do journalism.
Right.
But I was also doing photography at the same time, so I was doing kind of, for a bit I was reviewing gigs and taking photos of gigs and bands and whatever I could get into, and then eventually the writing side just took over more. So I ended up becoming a music journalist. I went to take some pictures of our mate's band, which Kane was in, and that's how we first met. But actually, we didn't like talk to each other for quite a few years after that. And I didn't even really know you, to be honest.
Not until one of his birthdays.
Yeah. So
at some point, you fell in love, right? Because, I mean, let's... Like, so,
cut
just,
that bit.
Yeah, because you know, I assume that we can make, like, you guys are married, right? So we can talk about that. So I'm curious because I'm curious at what point.
Well, are we allowed to? Is it a secret?
I'm curious at what point, like, were you making music together and then kind of fell in love later, or
no,
were you already
know.
Were you a couple,
no.
And then
yeah.
What was the timeline? How did that?
Yeah, well, we were together, and then...
Yeah, so we met, and then obviously we started dating, and then we ended up...
Moving out here
together, and then got married, I don't know, how long was that?
It was after even we... No, it wasn't after we got married. No, we were doing it before we got married.
Okay.
But we had already been together, and then... Yeah, and like Kane was saying, I wouldn't even sing in front of him. Not even like if I was singing to the radio or something, I would get really, like, paranoid.
Yeah,
and
so she loves Arctic Monkeys, so I like, learned Arctic Monkeys, she was like, at least I can get an idea of like the tone, the key, something.
Yeah.
She wouldn't even sing a syllable in front of me.
Yeah, like at the start, every time we'd rehearse, it would take me about half an hour just to like work up the courage to sing the first note, which is so ridiculous to think about now.
I'll shut you up.
I'm a nightmare now. I sing everything. It's like a musical in our house.
but your live energy is so good. So I suppose that was like, that's why it's so weird to hear that you couldn't sing in front of anyone, because it was like, because now you wouldn't guess that from the way you perform.
Right.
At
yeah.
All,
yeah.
I mean? It's
yeah.
just you're just so you're a great front person. It's brilliant. Do you know what I mean? You've got a really good. Both of you together make a really good like live performance. It really works.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Thanks.
Well, I'd seen her DJ a few times as well. She's a really good DJ. Her and a mate used to put on a night together, And the, you know, I mean, the reason why I'm saying that, because obviously they she'd be dancing and they'd be like, you know, it wasn't a set, but you know, it's worth saying that, like, you guys were brilliant because they could really read a room, you know.
Yeah.
Like when you're DJing, you've really got to go with the flow, isn't it? And sort of,
yeah.
And they would do these nights, like these silent disco nights, where they like the people got coloured headphones on, and each DJ's got a different colour.
Right.
So you could see in the room who had the floor, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they, as soon as it started to sway another way, they were brilliant at just pulling people back.
Like, oh wait, that was so like that the silent.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
disco
yeah.
nights weren't our night. Our night was like a hip hop. It was a hip hop night, but it was like a silly hip hop night, because we loved going to hip hop nights, but they were really serious and like really intimidating, and we did not fit in. This is like me and my mate Alexi, who if anyone has seen our episode of Pointless, that's the guy I did Pointless with.
Oh, okay, I've seen that.
Yeah, so that guy.
You didn't know that Dan was on an episode of Pointless.
When were you on Pointless?
Yeah, we filmed like just before the pandemic, and then it aired like the first year. During the first year of the pandemic.
No way.
Yeah.
How did you do?
Well, I got a trophy.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's so mad.
This is down into a team. I should just show up and just nail something. Yeah.
I love Pointless. So.
I've only watched. So there's no. So special,
to begin with, to begin with, she couldn't play Pointless in front of
Yeah, half an hour.
Like 30 minutes.
Was it Alexander Armstrong? Give me a second. I
yeah.
can't believe you're on Pointless.
Yeah.
That's mental.
Yeah, yeah. It was
yeah,
super fun.
Good.
I'm going to watch that episode.
There were two episodes.
You're on two episodes?
Yeah.
Why are you on two episodes?
Because
every contestant does two episodes, unless you win the first one.
Yeah, and we made it to the head-to-head in the first one as well. So
yeah.
We like, in my opinion, we did ultimate Pointless.
Yeah.
Like the maximum, other than winning the money, we didn't win the
get
money.
A Pointless
oh.
answer at the end.
Yeah, which
win
is really
trophy, but
annoying. But
spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry. If you haven't seen Pointless from three months ago,
it's still a great. It's still a great episode. It's still worth going.
I bet it is. I'm going to watch that. That sounds really fun.
Oh yeah, and also in one of them, Paul Simon was a Pointless answer, and I didn't get it.
No.
Yeah, really, really gutting. I know. It was embarrassing. I got a lot of flack for that.
Oh man.
But yes, anyway, what I'm saying is we used to run this like silly, ridiculous hip-hop night just really ridiculous. We would like make masks of rappers and give them out to people
and
have dress up.
And you just played as well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
like
just fall out.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was already sort of used to being in front of people.
Yeah.
But not doing my own art, like that's the scary bit, isn't
yeah.
it? Showing
yeah.
people your art and
yeah.
being like, please like me.
Yeah,
please like this.
But isn't it mad now? Like, she not only does she, obviously she's got this status, but like when she goes out into the audience and like gets on people's faces, like, I don't know, I've seen you do the same sort of thing, but oh my god.
Well, I saw Dan do it and thought I fancy it. There you go.
So
always taking notes from other shows, you know, picking the best bits.
You've got to,
and,
yeah. You've got to learn from each other, haven't you? That's
yeah.
the thing.
Yeah, yeah, what? Yeah, I mean, I basically have taken from, like, Hayley Williams, Karen O, you know, and not just, like, the women, I mean, mainly. I'm trying to think of, like, a really bolshy dude, front guy.
Frank Carter is a real bolshy. Do you know, like, Frank Carter, Rattlesnake?
Yeah.
Okay. But yes, yeah.
I was thinking, Barry, were you taking notes when we were talking about how to be a good DJ, and were you taking some tips?
Barry doesn't need tips.
He doesn't need tips.
No, I'm just pulling his leg.
I do. There's a tip jar on the bar.
So you get to a point where you've asked Dan to be
yeah.
a singer. So then.
Yeah.
You don't want to sing, so there's a bit of back and forth with that. Well, how do we start to...
So it took no time at all before she was like, I don't want to sing your songs, I want to write my own, which is
okay.
brilliant. That's great.
Oh, yeah, because at first Kane was like,
was
oh, I've done some stuff, could you maybe sing it?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I don't want to sing your stuff.
Denied.
But why was that? Is it just not your style? Was it just not something...
Yeah, it didn't... Well, I mean, for me anyway, it just didn't feel right, and I'm a writer already. I mean, I hadn't written songs before, but, you know, I write, and so I was kind of like, I think I want to do this myself, and
that's
it just
fair.
felt more just about,
do you write all the vocal melodies and the lyrics?
No, not all of them. I prefer I prefer when I do. I mean, the EP that we've got is Matt, our guitarist, has done a lot of the the lyrics and writing of the melodies, and and that sometimes is difficult, you know, and but I make it work. I prefer when I'm writing, but but I'm also open to
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, because I suppose like it's like your phrasing and your words.
Yeah.
But you will go back if like you will change
our tracks end up sounding not a great deal like the demo that Matt created originally. I will tweak it and make it more me, even if he's given me the foundation, you know.
And is he all right with that?
Yeah,
we have to be.
He has to be, otherwise he's been showing the door.
He's out.
It's just the way. But that's the way.
Last one in, first one out.
He doesn't mean that, mate. But we do. No, I'm joking. But we have to do that. I think when we, whenever we've had, I don't know, this is not about us, but whenever we've got people in the band, it's a case of, because we've gone for a few guitarists, but they always come in as an equal. Like everyone comes in as equals.
Yeah.
It's not a case of like, oh, now you're this, and because obviously me, Will, and Matt have been in the band the longest. We were the ones that were there. That have been there since the beginning, but we want to make Matt and anyone that comes into the band, like Lauren, our manager, we want to make them feel like they've been part of the band forever, because that's the way we try and run it. Because
an equal say in anything, you know, if we're doing like voting, you know, majority voting to make a decision, sort of like everyone gets the same say. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And Matt's been really good for buying into that ethos and kind of, you know, it's important that he will buy into that, and with him writing a lot of the stuff for the EP, you know, the same thing is reciprocated in terms of, you know, that they are Call to the Faithful songs regardless
and because obviously as you guys know, it's more than one dimension. It's not just songwriting, it's then publicised to band, it's getting out there, networking, it's running the Instagram, the Facebook, the getting things on Spotify, do you know what I mean? There's so many
hosting a podcast
there's so many things that you then do as well as, like, everyone needs to pull their weight a little bit, don't they? Otherwise it just doesn't work. So you wanted to write some of your own songs. So did you just want to write the lyrics and then Kay do the music, or?
Yeah, I think so. Although
we tried loads of different things.
Yeah.
But basically what happened was we did stuff where I wrote like entire music things and she tried to write over. We did things where she brought them to me, and we put some songs together just for our own sake, really. And I think the thing that we realised, the people that we showed them to, the sort of more mellow stuff actually was winning over.
Mm-hmm.
And in hindsight, I think actually was just my lack of knowledge of guitar tone, because I'm a drummer first.
Okay.
So they were like, it was like really distorted and that kind of thing. It was
almost
like...
And also when we started, sorry to interrupt, but we wanted to be a much bigger band, like a more of a rock band. You know, more, I mean, I don't want to say Arctic Monkeys, but more like that, you know, like massive sound.
Yeah.
And we were looking, Kane was going to drum, and we were looking for guitarists, and we just couldn't like find anyone to join our band. So, which is how it ended up going in the direction it did. And as we were doing open mics and stuff, we sort of...
Yeah.
So we should talk about this, because that's a nice little segue into the fact that you are the drummer and the guitarist in Collars, and which is a lot of people watching this, I imagine, will be aware of you and will have perhaps seen you live and knows, but for anybody who doesn't know, talk us through how you set up on stage, because it's pretty unique.
Did you build it yourself?
Okay. Exactly. So work over that just a little bit. So we went out. The sort of more mellow songs were working, and I think it's probably down to my lack of knowledge of how to stack guitars and things. And Dan's vocal works more with a sort of an indie guitar tone anyway, gives it a little bit more room to breathe. So we stripped it right back down and just went out with an acoustic and her singing, because I hadn't really played guitar that much either, so playing in front of an audience was terrifying. At least with a drum, when you like smack it, I've got quite a wide breadth to hit the damn thing. Guitar, like, we had these like songs that I was picking, and I was, you know, like, come on, like. So yeah, it was both of us were learning on the job, really. And so we went out and did that, and then just my drummer side just got the better of me, and I just kept thinking, like, you know, we'd be playing these like really, we play some diabolically bad shows, some that I'm sure you've been at, but there were some open mics, you know, where we might have not even been there, we just sort of in the corner.
I've never seen you guys do a bad show. I'm not gonna let you say that.
But yeah, so yeah, my drummer brain just went over, and I was thinking, like, even if I could just go like Duvka, Duvka underneath, like, at least people at the back would be like, what's going on, you know, something.
Yeah.
Like,
make people look at us.
Yeah, so in my head.
Was it ever a consideration to have a backing track or a drum machine, you know, something that, or?
Yeah, yeah, we played, I think we've tried everything under the sun to most of the year. There was one, I found some old pictures actually of like some of the first rehearsals where we went to the rehearsal.
Oh, yeah, Rocket
Park. Peterborough.
Yeah, Rocket Park.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
and yeah, we some of the songs we put together, I tried to take the drums out, and it just never felt right, you know. Especially with the two piece, like a drummer and a backing track and a singer, it's just like not.
Yeah, because I can't play anything either. I mean, I know, like, I play a little bit of keys and stuff in the band, but when we play live, but I don't know how to, I can't play guitar or bass or anything like that. So we did try. I've tried playing bass for a little bit, couldn't really get on with it.
I've forgotten about that as well. So yeah, anyway, so I, in my head it started off as like almost like a Mumford & Sons C6 Steve kind of thing. That's how I was kind of picturing it, just so I could get, because I was playing acoustic as well.
Yeah, yeah.
As well. I used to like have it to the side once I started playing with the drums. Yeah, and then it just, I just wasn't happy with the sound, you know. I just kept wanting it to sound bigger, and inevitably it just kept adding things. So the way it sounds at the moment is the acoustic's gone, we're playing electric. There's a kick, snare. So it's basically three components: kick, snare, crash. They're obviously all facing. I sit down and play them, so they're all kind of facing the way you'd imagine a kick drum towards you, the skin. Three pedals, three kick pedals, but two are doubled up. So the one on the kick and the one on the snare. I could probably send you some pictures. You could drop them in the video if you want.
That's easy for people
to understand. But yeah, there's some closed hi-hats mounted to the one mounted to the. One pair mounted to the reverse side of the kick, and the same with the snare, and the beaters are doubled up and they're just slightly set apart. So when I hit the kick, you get the kick and a closed hi-hat, and the same on the snare. Whoa. And then I have to switch to play the crash. And then there's an acoustic trigger on the kick and the snare going to a Roland SPDS, and that triggers like open hi-hat sounds for me. But obviously to move through the patches, I need a switch, so that's Velcro to my guitar. So I'm hitting that between the verses and the choruses to move between the two patches.
I'm getting anxious just thinking about
tell me about it.
And then my mate has just built me this incredible switcher pedal, so I can now take a line out of that pedal that changes between the SPDS. So I don't, I'm not doing any more. I'm still hitting that between verse and chorus, but it'll put on an effects line for me as well. So now I can actually bring in like distortion in the chorus and stuff as well.
Oh,
just
nice.
Like raise the game.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it didn't happen overnight. It was like, oh, shove a tambourine on the back and that's not working, and then, you know, it just added things as we went along. It's just slowly developed.
It looks like a professional setup though. You've built it really well. It doesn't look like you just glued a lot of bits together. And, you know, it looks like you've bought it almost. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, it's just time really. It's just over the course of a few years, adding things, taking them away, trying different angles of things and screwing it.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in another 5 years' time, and you've got the harmonica.
Do you know, I tried playing harmonica once at the same time. I look like Timmy from South Park. it was really dreadful. So yeah, there's a fine line between it, because the thing is as well, we want to be, you know, it's a lot to do something very simple, and we never wanted it to be a gimmick. We want people to, you know, if you're still in the back, to be like, oh, it's back to the band playing, like,
yeah,
there's nothing, you know. Didn't want that to, you know, okay, it's a USP, but you know, that shouldn't be the first thing that we're known for. So it's a lot to do something very simple, but yeah, the kind of thing you were saying about backing tracks, we want to just get up there and just rock out.
Also, even with like triggering stuff off, I mean, the more organic we can keep it, the better it feels, like, for us and for the audience. Like, even you might not even realize it, but when you're watching a band that's literally like they hit something, they strum something, and you hear that. I feel like it connects with you way more than if you're watching some people playing synths are different, but like, yeah, just triggering stuff off and then getting back into tracks, and you're kind of like trying to figure out where everything's happening.
We've talked about this before with some other guests, where that's rings true with for us as well, because we see a lot of the other bands that we're not competing with, but coming up through the scene that we, you know, we're playing shows with, and some of the really tightest sounding sets and really clean shows and stuff, they've got huge production set up on stage, and the backing track and everything sounds all really clean and great.
Yeah.
And we sometimes think, like, do we need to go down that route to have the best live show? But actually, we but we actually just quite like being a bit raw and sloppy and trying and actually being, you know, a little bit more punky and it not sounding perfect.
Yeah.
But
you can feel it.
But it means that we can dive out into the crowd and jump around and not really care the fact that that might knock off the timing. It's just like fucking live music, you know?
There's a few things I'd like, because there's in some of that, especially some of that on the new EP, we've got a lot of guitar layers, because obviously there's only Matt on guitar and me on bass, so it'd be nice to have those layers come through. But then we are going to then lose the raw element,
the movement,
which is the real hard
pull.
That's it.
Yeah, I think, and I think it's like a, you know, obviously it's, as technology has come more and more into live music, it's a conversation that people have been having for years, but I think it's really prominent now, because we're in an age where even rock music on record is produced to the, you know, it's to the grid, and it's really, and then, you know, we're going to shows, and don't get me wrong, there's people who do it brilliantly, like we're big 21 Pilots fans, it's all, there's tons of it on the backing track, but they kill it, you know, they really, really feel what they're doing. So it's not saying that it's not saying it can't be done, but even more so now, because we're all listening to this music that's like very, very clean and well produced, which, don't get me wrong, I'm a production whore, I love like you know, Dre and all that kind of stuff, but you you know, the question is when you go to a live show, isn't that the time, or maybe the only time now, where you're going to get punched in the face by this raw, you know, sound? There's something visceral there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Experience.
Absolutely.
So
it makes it more engaging as well, doesn't it?
Definitely.
I think so anyway, but yeah, it's definitely a question that I think we need to continuously ask ourselves now more than ever because of that.
So
Barry and I were talking just earlier about kind of a disdain for this idea of like genres and pigeonholed, and but so even with that in mind, I almost hesitate to ask you, but where do you see yourself sitting on the genre spectrum? How would you describe the sound?
How would we pigeonhole ourselves?
If you were to put a pigeon in a hole.
How would you do that thing that we all know that we don't like to do? I'm just going to press you on.
Well, yeah, weirdly, I mean, I think because of what I like and who my inspirations are, I've always just thought of us as an indie band. But so many people don't think we're an indie band that now realise we're not an indie band. So I guess, I don't know. I mean, I think indie punk is the two camps we probably sit
that's
in.
That's fair. Okay.
But
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, but I guess ultimately if I had to pick one, maybe I'd go in the punk camp, just because we don't really go down any one sort of like...
Yeah.
And punk, the punk element is just as much about your spirit as well, you know.
Definitely
feel like I'm at a punk show and I'm seeing you guys.
Cool, good. I think that's like what we want to put across as well. Like, we want it to be energetic and, you know, and connect. And we don't want to be like that kind of typical noughties indie band you think of as like four dudes just stood there, like, you know, in black, strumming and being really serious. And like, couldn't possibly show any emotion. It's not cool, man. So
they're my least favorite. That's why I don't like. That's why I don't like a lot of indie, just because it's just a lot of it. The people take themselves too seriously.
And
it just puts me off. I like when people can have a bit of fun with themselves.
Yeah.
And I understand music can be serious, and sometimes music has to be serious. I understand that, but there's like massive bands that can poke fun at themselves, and it's cool, and it makes you actually more endearing, I think, than just being very straight laced.
Definitely,
you know?
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, so where do we get to in the story? So now you're now writing the music, the lyrics.
Yeah.
You've now built yourself your drum contraption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is the music then forming then? So you're writing lyrics, you're writing the music, you're coming together, doing it together. How did you get from?
I started writing the melodies, vocal melodies. So I'd essentially bring to Kane a song, basically the vocal melody, the lyrics, bring the song.
You've done in your head?
Yeah. So either verse, chorus, or sometimes the whole thing, like verse, chorus, middle eight. And then Kane would write to that, and then we'd sort of come together, and then we started also writing stuff just like together in a room.
Yeah.
Kane would be strumming the guitar, trying to play stuff. I'd be
but
sort
again,
of singing melodies.
Ned.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you know, with the album that we just put out, we were sort of, we put ourselves under quite a sort of strict time constraint, and so we were like at it every day. It wasn't, we weren't waiting for things to appear. We were showing up and going, like, here's a few hours. And
yeah.
So yeah, like some of that time I'd sort of faff around on the guitar and Dan would pick something up, but we always let the melody carry it to the next place. And I think that's been really important for us. I know it's just not how everybody writes,
mm-hmm.
but I think vocal melody is, can be overlooked. It's, you know, it's one of the most important things, especially for pop music, because
yeah.
you know, lyrically it might not be you know, you, it might not be at the forefront of what you're going for, but yeah, people are always going to remember that melody, aren't they? Like, so, it's even some of the worst songs you remember so we try and let vocal melody rule, and by Dan not writing on an instrument, just giving me almost an entire song, you know, that we can let the melody do what
so
it
at this point
then
you're having to sing in front of him because you're having to make sure that you're
getting
the melody to
yeah.
the yeah.
Well, normally she just like records it on her phone and sends it to me, and I just keep faffing around until I come up with something that I think is working, and then we play together and see if it works and change things around and that. But yeah, it's really cool because yeah, like I say, it means that we can let the vocal melody do what it wants to do.
Yeah.
Although you say that,
yeah.
at the beginning, I would write like really ridiculous, or not basically, I didn't have that sense of timing and structure. So I'd write something and be like,
okay.
What do you mean you can't like fit that in? And Kane's like, no, you've got to cut, like, it has
yeah,
to end
yeah.
here.
There are some rules.
Yeah.
Well, there are. There's a reason why people like songs to be structured the way they are. It's like a story, isn't it? It's like first chorus, like tension release,
yeah.
and then a break, and then the big release. You know, there's
yeah.
something that it's like an arc of a story. We like
the,
that kind of thing.
You have to get any sort of commercialism, you have to be in that sort of realm.
Yeah.
Our little Matty, he likes to come to us with different time signatures.
Yeah.
And I have to say to him, just not that popular. It's just like it's just people, like, I like it. I like sitting and listen. I like counting to music. I think it's fun. But like, most people don't want to do that on their way
yeah.
to work. You
yeah,
just
yeah.
saying, I listen to this EP when I've got to do maths while I'm driving. People so and you need to be able to dance to things, don't you? You need to be able to like get involved. And I think
that's
as
it.
Much as it's fun to do different types of signature songs, and they're really impressive, I think if you're putting out to the wider world, a lot of the time you keep that to a minimum. Do you know what I mean? Not saying don't never do it.
Ultimately, we do want people to listen to it. Repeat, listen to it, come to the shows, like it, you know. Yeah. So sometimes you got to play by the rules a little bit.
There are guys that pull it off though. Like Sting is a great example of odd time signatures done, but done in a way where you wouldn't even know possibly that it is an odd time signature.
Yeah.
A couple of those, I think 7 days is one of them. I think it's in 9, maybe.
Isn't that Craig David?
No,
and that's in 9.
Didn't you know? Yeah, no, the Sting tune, and like the Mars Volta is kind of a good, sort of a good example, because if you can put away all the like the 9 minute ambient noise between tracks and things, especially their earlier records, they're still like verse chorus bridge chorus, but there's like this weird bar here and this weird bar there and a little segue here, and they're extended over that 7 minutes or whatever. So it can be done, but yeah, I think there's something inherent about us as humans and the way that the art has developed that likes those forms. So why would you want people to like it?
Yeah. You got to try
please,
and make some sort of career.
Please come to our shows.
I think I was exactly the same. I think, you know. You know, you're like, well, why can't I do like 9 verses and then have 6?
Why not?
Like, you can, but you know,
not as many people are gonna like that.
Yeah.
It might not be as interesting or as fun to do or to listen to. So
we've got a track on the EP and it's doing Matt's head in because this one's like getting on for 5 minutes long, and there's a long building intro, and like there's no vocals in it for like a minute and a half and stuff, and like we want it, and it's commercially potentially could be quite popular, but it's like it doesn't make sense as a single because it wouldn't get played on radio. It's too long.
Unless
it takes too
edit.
Long to get into, so we're going to do a radio edit, but Matt's just like, yeah, we can have a radio edit, but I never want to hear it.
It's a weird world within, isn't it? Where instantaneousness is like the name of the game. It kind of doesn't play well to good art. You know, the amount of times you hear people like slag off bands' new records, and you're like, if you actually listen to it all the way through, okay, how about more than once? You know, the things don't, things that are great aren't instant normally.
There's such a shift now in like just attention, you know, attention spans just don't exist anymore. It's like.
I think that's a bit like the Arctic Monkeys, new Arctic Monkeys albums, a lot of hate for it, but actually, if you've listened to it a few times, can be quite enjoyable. You don't like it, you're not into it. I've really started to like it.
I really try.
Yeah. I like it.
Paid attention to it and decided it's not very good.
I've got a big thing for really pretentious music. Like I sometimes really love real pretentious shit. Cool. And it is such a pretentious album. It's just so full of itself.
Yeah,
I really like it.
I mean,
it's a bit like the 1975's new stuff. It's so full of themselves. I quite like it.
I find the 1975 so bland. Like they're not they're
I get that.
I know a lot of people who really love them, so I
we love these opinions because we'll clip that up or we'll make a reel
yeah,
and then
yeah.
we're gonna get so much hate mail.
But then again, have you listened to an entire record?
No.
See?
But the stuff that's out there doesn't make me want to listen to another record.
Fair.
But
that's fair, but that's part of music. You've got when you release singles, you want to get other people to listen to those music. Do you know
that is kind of the point of the single, And to be fair, they've got millions and millions of people who love them. So
they don't need you. They're a load of people. They're all right.
On the Arctic Monkeys album, like the previous one, Tranquility Base, I really loved that.
Yeah.
And that again, like. I put in the time. And the more I listened to it, the more I was like, oh, actually, there are loads of really good hooks here. They're just kind of like, they're not in the usual places.
You've got to find them. They're buried in there, but you've got to find them.
And I really love that album now. But so the new one, I was like, okay, I probably just need to give it time like I did the other one. But I just can't get on with it. It's too much like funk and lounge room kind of thick stuff.
You've got to keep going. It takes 4,000 listeners.
Yeah.
10,000
hours.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
But after slagging off Arctic Monkeys, I think that's a good time for a break. So let's have a little break and a poo. Bye. Welcome back. Welcome back,
Hello
Kaz.
There. Hello.
Hope we all have a nice poo.
Very, very tasteful.
We're going to do an intros round. So we do this after every break, where we play the first 15 seconds of a song due to copyright reasons. And we have to guess what the song
There's
is.
No copyright in music anymore.
Yeah.
Are you sure Ed Sheeran's going to be in court this week?
He sang and played guitar to prove that you can't. But he's trying to prove that he didn't rip off Marvin Gaye, isn't he?
Well, the other thing as well, he started doing is that he started to film all his writings. Every time he sits down to write, he puts a camera on. The thing is though, well, it's become an industry, hasn't it? Like people look for songs that are similar and go, "We can make you some money. We can make some."
Yeah.
There's hundreds of thousands.
Is it Bittersweet Symphony that they didn't make any money from the song because Rolling Stones took all the money to the rights because they used the string section.
Similar story with Thong Song. Ricky Martin basically makes all the money from Thong Song because of that reference to
Living La Vida Loca.
We saw this interview with Cisco and
his
biggest
song.
We're not really making any money from it.
Oh, we should take out that reference to the Thong Song in our new track. Would that go to Cisco or to Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin doesn't need any more money.
Is Ricky Martin dead?
No. But I think if you listen to his latest record, you may find that he probably does need the money. It's dreadful.
You've listened to me?
Yeah, because it came out the other day. I was like, I wonder if he's doing anything.
What a revelation, mate. Ricky Martin's latest album is shit.
It sounds like he's just recorded it at home, which he probably has.
He probably did.
Yeah.
Maybe
Ricky is
dead. Maybe it's just AI.
So this playlist is going to be a Ricky Martin bass playlist.
Yes. I might get
some. Oh, this one's on you, Kay.
I want to say from the get-go, I'm going to be dreadful for this because I don't remember song titles and names of bands and stuff. So yeah.
Well, so we're going to do half a point for each.
Okay. Well.
And then we'll just try.
Good luck, Dan.
And it's the first
crack a beer.
Points. So we've got 50 seconds, we've got to guess it. Neither of us guess it, we pass it over to Barry. Barry usually knows.
He's
all
the encyclopedia,
songs.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Music. He's got more music in his head than Spotify does. Right.
So the playlist that we've picked today is the 2000s indie scene.
Oh, I'm going to be rubbish at this one.
Yeah.
Wait,
so
how do we do one each, do we?
No, you're competing, so you're going
to
shout out your answer.
Oh, God, I'm definitely done for.
And Riley, Riley is our scorekeeper.
I'm actually writing it. We've introduced half points now, I need to write it.
Yeah, you used to just sit there like this.
That's fair. So let's give this a go. Sometimes
hang on, but you got the list in front of you.
I'm not playing.
Oh. I want that to be really bad.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna be alright with this. No, this is Ethan versus.
Okay.
Ethan, when we were formulating how this the format for this podcast, he was like, "We're gonna do an intros round because I am fucking amazing at intros.
Okay.
Like, I will smash
for.
Everyone that comes
for.
In." He's won one comfortably.
Really?
Oh, okay.
He's been beaten a bunch of times, and then there's been some couple of close calls.
Yeah.
So we'll see
okay.
how we go. We've been switching up the playlist, so sometimes Ethan is better at some than others. So
yeah.
Indie, you should have a bit of an advantage on this one.
I don't know a lot of indie music.
Okay.
Well, let's go, let's see how this goes. So it's up first.
Jesus
Christ. Is it
Postal Service? Great Heights?
It is Such Great Heights by the Postal Service.
I have no idea.
You are going to get fucking
smashed.
It's
going to be the Dan Goldstein show.
Barry, would you have got that?
Yeah, he was nodding to me.
Yeah.
It's
the singer from Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh, is it?
There you go.
Do we get a bonus point for
that? With the guy from Iron and Wine.
Is it?
They used to mail stuff back and forth.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
All right, we get it. You're both good at music.
Oh, that's a good fact.
Let's round two.
He's such a fucking Wikipedia page.
1-0 to Collars.
To Dan.
I don't know what this is.
Any ideas? A couple more seconds. That's all you're getting.
No.
Isn't that Death Cab for Cutie?
That is Death Cab
for Cutie.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know the name of it.
Half a point to Ben.
As if the playlist put the Postal Service and then Death Cab.
It's the shuffle.
Yeah, I've shuffled it.
Oh,
so
it was shuffle. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That was a track called Soul Meets Body.
Which you can't believe you'd know that one.
Interesting, this isn't interesting, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yeah.
Why would I let that limit my conversation? the idea, random shuffle isn't random. Because
So
it used to be, but it used to throw people off because random meant that occasionally it would play one song from the same artist, after the other. But if that happened, it would
like
throw people off because they're like, this is supposed to be shuffled, why is it giving me the track from the same artist twice?
Right, yeah.
Which would happen in normal shuffle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So shuffles are not random, they're
tainted.
Deliberately
tainted.
Sort of tweaked to make it seem more random to you, even though it isn't.
God, I fucking hope they bring a film out about that story.
Yeah. Yeah. Still 1-0 to Collins.
Still 1-0.
Dance Till You're Dead, is it? No. It's cool.
Yeah, is it? Or Off With Your Head?
Off With Your Head.
No, it's called
Dance.
Heads Will Roll.
Heads Will Roll.
Oh,
yeah. 2-0 to Collars.
Woo! I'm getting like.
You
getting
really hot.
Feeling the pressure.
Palpitations.
Feeling the pressure.
Okay, next one.
'75 or something like
that. It sounds
like
Phoenix, but I don't know what it is.
I like it. Like, no, I know what it is.
2000s.
Oh, they weren't even born yet.
2000s.
The Ratons.
Wow, Barry.
The Flaming Lips.
No.
No,
nah,
I don't know.
The artist is Rooney.
Oh,
it's Wayne Rooney.
I sort of remember that name, but
when did you?
I think I saw them live once.
When did your heart go missing?
Is it
about 10 years? Rooney show, circa.
Yeah. I don't think even Rooney knows who Rooney is.
Okay, moving on. What's the score, Riley?
2 to Collars, half to Ben.
Half to Ben.
Did you say...
And it, but Ethan's on what?
Zero.
Did you say it was like first to five? Is that
first
how?
To five, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah.
So it's not
yeah.
like five songs and then you're...
No, first to five.
No, not best,
sweet.
Not best of, it's first to five.
Sweet. It's Bright Eyes, First Day of My Life.
Yep.
Wow.
Let's just roll through these and let get the next ones.
I recognise that one.
Oh,
that's
progress, mate.
Really, really super random fact. Bright Eyes is the favourite artist of Sophie, who runs the Blue Moon in Cambridge.
Oh.
Where we're both going to be next week. Oh no, but this won't be out for then.
We'll talk
is,
about that.
Is that a random fact or is it just made to seem random?
Because I knew that you guys couldn't handle it if I said something that was about. No, I can't think.
Oh,
of
I was so close.
I was so close.
We'll cut it. We'll edit in an interesting fact at that point.
No.
Oh well, obviously. Go on, Kane.
Mr. Brightside, kids.
Yes.
Hey.
I mean, we had that. I'm just going to say. But you can have that point.
Thanks for the point. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, who said it first?
I was allowing Kane to say it because I knew he would know that
in
one.
In the time that you took, Ethan got in
there. Yeah, that
yeah.
was a
mistake. Yeah,
yeah.
But that is like the song of the noughties, isn't it?
Yeah. Never left the charts.
Never left the charts.
Fast approaching 2 billion streams on Spotify, which is sickening.
That's like £10.
I just can't look. It's killing me.
Yay!
Oh, we're coming out with all the gold today.
Oh,
Barry knows it.
What part?
No, it's Modest Mouse.
It is Modest Mouse. That's all your time you get here. Barry?
Something, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say something about water or something. Float on?
It is Float On, but I don't think I can give
no,
you a
no,
half
that's
point.
Fair. That was totally Barry.
So that is
if anything, Barry should get the point for that.
3.5.
One. You're beating Ben then.
All of these are American Canadian indie bands, which is a weaker spot in my knowledge, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They're British.
I thought there were going to be some.
I thought there
was
a bit of Arctic Monkeys in there, some Kaiser Chiefs. I was thinking I might be able to get.
I thought that was going to happen, but no.
I'm sure they're in the playlist somewhere, just we've not got to it yet, so.
The Kooks. There we go, there's a. It's. Naive.
Ah! I'll see. I've
just
got this.
And now here's the band from Leeds.
I
just searched for the Kooks. And
I once, me and my mate once went to Brighton to just try and meet the Kooks, just randomly. We were like, oh, they're from Brighton, let's just go to Brighton, maybe we'll
so
meet them.
They weren't playing, you just thought you'd be one, if you walked around long enough, you'd bump
yeah.
into them.
Yeah, we heard that they lived there, so.
Did it work? Did you meet them?
No. But we did have a really great time.
Oh, good.
It turns out there's loads of people from Brighton.
Who knew? Really busy place.
They're on tour in America.
All the colours need now is half a point.
Yeah,
okay.
You're on match point. So you just need the artist or track name in this one. And
I've got to try and
bring it to Deuce.
Yeah. Stranger Things.
Is it the channel
of the new bean shift of this?
Fuck no, but this is.
I don't know what this is.
Hello, goodbye.
Sounds like not a terrible shout
Thank
to me. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's the New York Police Department Crown Victoria. Sound like a siren to me. Don't know what it is.
No, it's M83, Teen Angst.
Oh. I mean, I know of M83.
Tip of my tongue, that was tip of my tongue.
Okay,
but I don't know that song.
We go again, another match point.
Feeder?
No, no, it's not Smashing Pumpkins.
It is Smashing Pumpkins, is it?
Which one is it?
I'm not giving you anything.
Yeah.
Tonight, if that's what it sounds like tonight, tonight.
That's your 15 seconds.
1979.
Nope.
Was
no
it Smashing Pumpkins?
Is it Smashing Pumpkins?
Only if Ben Queller is.
Ben Queller, god damn it. That's
it does
British.
Sound a lot like 1979.
Yeah.
Wasted and Ready by Ben Queller.
I don't know who Ben Queller is.
I've seen him.
Really?
A couple of times.
In Brighton.
I'm just wondering about his hometown.
Through his letterbox.
Okay, we go again.
Keen.
In MySpace.
Is it not?
In MySpace.
Yeah, Keen, that's enough. Half a point.
Yeah, I got the final point.
Yeah. Swoop in and take all the credit.
I don't even know what the song's called though.
Is it called
Somewhere Only We Know.
Oh no, I think I was thinking In My Place by Coldplay. That's better.
John Lewis ruined everything.
Well, that was great. Another great round of Etherverses. Really enjoyed that one. Thank you guys.
Well done.
That was fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's always fun when you're winning.
I do.
Yeah. It's true.
Well,
it's like being in a dream stage show.
I knew you'd kill it.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, well done, guys.
Yeah,
well
my
done.
Best. No, got my best pointless.
Well done.
To be fair, see, that's why I'm all right at pointless. I can remember pointless things like bands from the 90s that nobody remembers.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch this episode of Pointless.
Yeah.
So. We are playing, both of us are playing East Anglia next week.
We
just played East Anglia.
Yeah.
Several weeks ago, we played together.
East Anglia.
It was on
wasn't it awesome?
The 6th of May, all that time ago.
Wasn't it a great event?
It was so good.
Yeah. That bit where you did the backflip on stage.
Oh yeah, that was fun. Yes.
Where so that gang tried to like come in and steal everything and we just beat them up and told them where to go. That was really
absolute
really
chaos.
Yeah.
And it was a sellout as well, all those people that turned up.
Really, like, anyone who didn't make it gutted.
Absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely. You couldn't get in. There was a line out the door.
Legendary.
Yeah.
A line to get out the door.
Let me out. What have you got? You guys got anything coming up?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got three that weekend.
That time ago.
Yeah.
Just before East Anglia, we played in Chelmsford.
Right.
And then just after we played in Norwich.
Wow.
And then a little time after that, we played in Bury St Edmunds at the Hunter Club.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Is that part of the...
No.
That was
Bury
not.
Sound.
No, that's
all done and dusted now.
Yeah, this
Bury
is
Bury Sound it. Winners 2022. We should talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
what
happened.
Does that mean? Do you play the Apex?
We did play. Yeah, we played already.
And Bury. Ourselves.
Genuinely already happened.
Yeah, that did happen. That happened a few weeks ago.
What was that like?
Good.
It was cool. We were talking about before how we're stripping things back again, and
this is one of the reasons.
Yeah, we had quite a sort of we sort of planned the show out. We had like an intro tape and like these little segues with like other more drums and samples, and it just. It started to be a bit too much.
It was
not as fun anymore. So, it was good. We had a good night. We had some good friends come down. The rest of the bands that were on the lineup were incredible.
Mm.
But I think it's a good turning point for us, showing us that actually we need to just go out and rock out and have fun.
Yeah, that's fair.
Get back to basics.
Forget all the
bit.
Frills.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah
definitely. But yeah, it was cool. That whole setup is brilliant, and there's so much talent. It's crazy. There's just so many good bands out and around in East Anglia, isn't there? It's mental. And Seymour Quigley, who runs Washing Machine, he's sort of heads it up with Tim Willett from
Cambridge
105. Yeah, he's incredible. He's so supportive of all the acts and stuff.
Yeah.
But no, the one we've got at Bury is his band.
Horse Party
are reforming to raise some money for charity.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's asked to play on that bill.
One of his former bands.
Yeah. You're sort of like the darlings of the Bury music
scene. Maybe from the outside.
Yeah.
I think that's sick of us.
I mean, I know we played there a lot, but
I remember when we
were going.
Are you sure you remember?
was it the competition?
We were going to be in the same heat, weren't we, originally?
Yeah, but then it was too windy.
It was too windy.
They called it off the
corner. Quite windy it was. Quite windy.
How rock and roll. But it was it live. I can't remember. He was talking about crying about like.
He mentioned you guys.
Like,
yeah.
Said how much he cried over your songs. How much he loved you guys. And
he does get very emotional.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. He did. True.
Yeah. He really likes you guys, which is totally fair. Like he's got good taste.
No, he's really he really passionate about music and
super genuine.
Yeah, and just supporting. Yeah, just getting people out and playing, you know, for the right reasons as well.
Yeah.
You mentioned Tim Willett as well, who we hold a very soft spot for because he's one of the people that's always championed our music on a show that wouldn't traditionally really play our music, but still does, and you know is off, you know, tried to get us on shows and stuff, and we I think it's great. I got a lot of time for Tim.
Yeah, Tim's a dude.
I've followed him from the Nerve page today. I'm trying to see what we can do if we can help out at the LMG. I think that'd be quite, because I'm trying to be do stuff here with like other, with bands.
Yeah.
I think it'd be nice to see if we can somehow get involved in that, you know, in that respect.
Definitely, yeah.
Don't know how, but
trying to link those things, isn't it?
Yeah.
If everybody's out promoting and doing those bits, why not? Why can't we help each other? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we, I don't want to delve too much into it, but just mentioning Barry Sound, I feel like it would be remiss of us not to talk about our PTSD over. I don't want to go into it in too much because I don't want to say anything we shouldn't. But we obviously, so that heat that we were supposed to be competing together.
Yes.
We then got the heats were split out into two other heats, and
there were more bands.
We were against some other bands, and we lost out to that were victorious on the evening. Did they play? Were they at the show? I know they were playing at one of the.
They played one of the heats.
Yeah, they headlined one of the
heats this year, and then obviously they went through to the final last year, so played the Apex. So
fair play to it. But it's been a source. So we should explain that Queen Dogs are children.
Very,
you know,
they're like 19.
They're
11.
They were 11.
Yeah.
12 years old, it's been the source of some banter, shall we say, amongst our circle.
Yeah, I remember the chat at the time. I mean the WhatsApp group, not like the chat around you guys. I remember all the rumours.
Yeah, there's a video of me reacting to it.
So we, but we're going to keep going.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, God. I mean, look. I mean...
They are great.
No, they are fantastic. For a bunch of kids to go out and do that, it's phenomenal. Mm. I just took so much of my precious time and my expensive equipment to go and play... to actually take something seriously.
You should have been better. You should have played.
Yeah.
To be fair, I mean, it's a feeling I have at almost every gig. We're so old.
I just for fuck's sake. I just fair play. It's all I can say.
That's enough on that.
nothing. No beef with them though. They fair play.
No.
Oh yeah, like, they're wicked.
It's good stars. People who, you know, young people are trying to do gigs and play music and stuff. That's brilliant. That's exactly what we need.
I think it's probably worth saying that they asked us to be judges this year.
Oh.
Having seen it from the other side, it's not even always who's best on the night, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think there's,
definitely.
I mean, sometimes it's that, but there was definitely deliberation over a number of different points, and I think more often than not, the people who ended up winning the heats were people who were maybe a bit different and not what you'd expect. So, you know, whether that's the right... I think I would want to always award the people who played best on night and who would benefit most from having that position, because obviously we're all struggling and trying to make a name and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But that wasn't always... And I don't disagree with it. I don't agree with it.
Even we
disagreed, so that's the thing. Isn't
in the old
judge subjective
room. But yeah, sometimes it was like totally unanimous, really easy.
Yeah.
And then other times,
Your hits would have been easy to judge. It's just like, yeah, collars, yeah.
What do you want?
Move them through.
No, they were like, they're a bit weird. Let's put them through.
He's playing guitar and drums at the same time.
Sounds like crap. That's kind of cool.
I think the first time I saw you guys properly was a social distance gig at the Met Lounge.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
I mean, so many things about that. I would have been playing acoustic at that point as well, and the kit would have been just like a little floor tone.
Yeah, that was still really it, because we hadn't played, when lockdown happened, we had only played like two proper gigs. We'd only done open mics before that. And so we had no real like practice playing, you know, at a show.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Kane has been in other bands, but I hadn't even been in a band before, so yeah. I was... Actually, that's not true. I heard there was a very, very, very brief stint where I played drums with one of my friends.
There's a video somewhere.
Oh, so you can't play this with them.
Oh, no, not really. it was just like...
Only in the same way that you can play bass.
Not as well as an 11-year-old.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, fair play. I should spend less money on my instrument.
I did do, when I was a teenager, I had some drum lessons, and yeah, but I'm not very, I never carried on with it, and I'm not very good at it. I just had a...
And what was the reason why you stopped?
Terrified.
You was terrified.
Panic attacks.
Performing, weren't you?
Yeah, I couldn't do
the
performing.
Which is mad now.
Yeah,
that is mad. Because your show, so even back then when I saw it in that lounge, like, that was the great show. And I remember watching it.
Yeah, I was sat here thinking, I found it hard to believe that was one of the earlier shows. I just assumed you'd been going.
I remember that. I feel like they weren't good.
Definitely been getting loads of feedback. And that's what another reason why we
stopped with the acoustic.
Only reason, but yeah, because obviously I always had to set up in front of the drum kit. Well, 9 times out of 10, I set up in front of the drum kit, and I saw him right next to the monitors. Then with the acoustic as well, it was just like,
yeah.
Oh my god,
that
so stressful.
Yeah. I remember it being good. I just remember
thank
the,
you.
Oh,
wow.
That's good.
I just remember it being weird. I remember to be played as well.
Yeah.
And then just watching everyone just sat down.
Everyone being sat down was weird too.
Yeah,
strange.
No one's really moved. I mean, we played a gig a couple of weeks ago where nobody fucking moved, and it's just hard.
Yeah.
We're well out of lockdown. We're not doing socially distanced gigs anymore.
Yeah.
This was just a bad gig.
Yeah. There's been tons of people that bought tickets for us, though, and then everyone just stood there. After great show,
isn't that weird?
Like, really, you could have done something about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were enjoying yourself, you could have moved.
It's always well awkward, isn't it, when you do that thing of, oh, so does everyone want to like maybe just take a couple steps forward, and no one moves? Like,
yeah,
or
so,
not.
So I read the room. I didn't even ask them to. I just accepted that there was that sort of semicircle So I'm not even going to, because I just I'm not interested.
Yeah, I think I've learnt that now. But definitely in the beginning, I would always ask them like, oh, I really hurt when no one did. And now I've learned like, oh yeah, that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
You've got to.
We covered break stuff. I went down into the semicircle, you know, trying to inspire something, and still nothing. If you can't get excited about break stuff, then I'm sorry, you're dead inside.
We've played that now how many times?
Stop going to gigs.
Birmingham.
Oh, Birmingham. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Where in Birmingham?
Now,
the people that came to see us, no, they weren't moving enough. Move more. That's what we're playing this shit for.
That's all my friends and family, though, man.
Yeah, move more, guys. Come on, man.
To be fair, I feel like friends and family are the ones who they're the ones who usually stand at the back.
All my friends and family went to see Queen Dogs there the week before, and they loved it. They were jumping all over the place.
It was a great show.
Do you think it's weird, isn't it, how like quick people are to forget, isn't it? Because I remember like when we came out of the pandemic, I mean, it almost feels like a bad dream now, doesn't it? Like, almost doesn't feel real. But at the time, we were just so desperate, and we had no idea how long it was going to last as well. That was probably one of the worst things. Like, every month you're like, how long left?
Awful.
And then I remember coming out of it and like going to live shows. One of the first shows we went to actually was, because I worked for the NHS, was a free show for the Gorillas put on at the O2.
Oh,
and it was
like
their first show
I've
back.
Been to, I think.
The first night the O2 was open, so even the staff were buzzing. And it just an atmosphere. And I remember thinking then, like, I'm never going to forget how important this is, how much this, like, you know, how much magic there is in experiencing these things together. And I feel like already, even myself, not just the audience and other people, we're starting to forget like that this isn't a given. We don't just get to have this all the time. Yeah. Like, it's so weird, isn't
it? Anything could happen.
Yeah.
And we could just be shut down again.
Yeah, I know, it's depressing.
But it's true, though. But that's why we've got to keep supporting grossroots music. 100%. Keep going to gigs. Yeah.
100%.
Big or small. Like, I mean, we'll recently saw Paramore, but unfortunately on different dates.
We were supposed to go together.
Yeah. And then you were like, oh, when are you still coming to Birmingham? You're like, actually, I went to London.
I've already been, actually. Yeah. I was like, oh, what?
I thought you were going to. And I, because I genuinely thought.
He did think he was going.
Matt said the other day before I went, he was like, "You're not going on the Saturday." I was like, "No, it's Thursday." He was like, "Well, that's London." I was like, "Is it?" And I texted my sister. I was like, "If we go into Birmingham or London," she was like, "London, why?" And I was like, "Oh, they changed my plans."
Was that the O2?
Yeah. It was great. It was probably one of the best shows I've ever seen.
They were incredible.
They were so good. Yeah.
Another example of backing tracks working well.
Yeah. But they've also got the two percussionists. Four guitarists, do you know what I mean? Like it works. It's like they've made that work and they interact with each other.
They're all having a good time.
Like that's the nice thing. Like it works pretty well. It's like having a band that like each other.
Definitely.
There was a proposal at
our gig. Oh, was there really?
Yeah. And the guy proposed all in Paramore songs or lyrics. I think they were titles.
It was quite good actually.
It was cheesy as fuck, but it was good.
I wanted to ask you, actually, why I remember you supported Tom Lumley, didn't you, at some point?
Yeah, Nottingham.
How was that?
Yeah, that was really good, wasn't it?
That was actually
a really good show.
One of our favourite ones, actually. Yeah. Yeah, there's a place in Nottingham called The Chameleon, which I hadn't heard of, but I can't think of a room that size where the sound has been so good.
It was like where it is.
Fantastic.
They were so good.
What sort of size is it?
Sort of as wide as this room, but longer.
Okay.
And the stage is set really well. The sound is really good. Honestly, it's like you're listening within earshot when you're playing live. It's the sound's brilliant.
Nice.
The crowd turned up. Lumley Boys bought a load of people. We bought some people. Everyone was enjoying it. Great show.
Yeah.
Oh, wicked. Oh, I'm
glad. They're good to support. And they're good at getting bands to. To support them,
really nice guys as well.
Yeah, they are really nice. Yeah, second podcast today that we've spoken about.
Really?
And how good they are. They're good. They're lovely people, and they're good band. They're good songs.
We should have them on the podcast.
We should have them on the podcast. They're booked in.
Nice.
At some point soon. Who keeps ringing me? Go away. Anyway, look. Actually, on that note, we've been doing this fucking ages. So we need to fucking wrap.
Yeah, yeah. I think Paul Simon came over to say, like, come on.
Yeah, Paul Simon's like, honey's able to scratch these massive bollocks of mine. I need to get home. Where do we find you? Apart from obviously your house.
Preferably don't come to our house. Just go to collarstheband.com. That will ask us there. Alternatively, on all these socials, Collars the Band. I mean, like everywhere, just search Collars the Band, you'll find us.
Yeah.
Basically.
And we released an album last year called Clyde that we're really, really proud of. And we really
love
the album. Have you still got any vinyls left?
There we go.
Yes, we do.
Maybe just a few. So if you...
standard.
Yeah, if you feel like going to stream it, we'd really love that.
And you can buy it online too on our website.
Yep.
We're chucking our EP for free now. Again, got many.
Yeah. Many. Bad lads. I'll order a vinyl. I really want one of your vinyls. I don't need to order that. Cool, well.
Awesome. Thanks very much
for coming. It's been lovely to have you. Thanks for coming.
It's been lovely, yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers. We've been The Nerve, as always. Recorded at Here We Are, at Here Underscore We Underscore Are. Is that right? We've done it for the first time, right? Yeah. Follow us at The Nerve Pod, follow us at TTTF Band or Call to the Faithful, whichever. And that's it. Bye!